come and dwell.
Amen. God bless you. I hope everybody feel personally this is your house. Amen. For God to come and dwell. Amen. And I think this morning we're going to read from 1 Chronicles.
Amen.
Chapter 16. Thank you, Lord, that we are able to come together to pray, to read, to listen. Thankful that we are personally to Jesus Christ everything that he wants us to be.
Amen.
So this morning as we pray, just surrender yourselves unto him. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, that we have the opportunity to come together to worship. Father, we thank you that we can believe that we are a fit place for you to come and dwell in. Yes. Lord, help us, Lord, and strengthen us. Guide us, Lord, and lead us every day. Lord, if anything in our lives that shouldn't be, we pray, Lord, that you would take it out. Lord, that we would surrender. Let us always love our fellow man. Yes. Regardless of how they feel about us, it's how we feel about them. For that's where you were. You died upon Calvary hanging. Lord, that all of men might be saved. God, we thank you and we ask you and let us surrender and be that way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
1 Chronicles. As you read these scriptures, you see how much David believed unto God and surrendered himself.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 22 through 36, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm.
Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation.
Declare his glory among the heathen, and his marvelous works among the all nations.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Glory and honor are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place.
Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Fear him, all the earth and the worlds, all shall be stubborn, that it be not moved.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth.
Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice and all that is therein.
Then shall the trees of the woods sing out, because he cometh to judge the earth.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, ever. And all the people said, amen and praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Notice how the scripture there says, and the people said, amen. They said. They didn't think it. They just didn't have it in their heart. They said, amen. Praise be the Lord. Let's just do that this morning, because he deserves all honor and all praise and all glory. He deserves everything that you can give him. Everything. So if you can raise your hand, raise your hand. Be thankful that you can raise your hand, because many people can't raise their hands. There's people right now in a hospital right now, they can't raise their hand, but they would love to. And if you don't, you have to answer for God if you don't, when you can. So let's just sing that again. And why don't we just shake someone's hand and say, God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of God. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Come and dwell. Sing it unto him once again. This is your house, Father, come and dwell. This is your house, a holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely leave their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Come in. One more time, sing it unto him as Sister Christine gets ready to sing. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. A holy house of prayer. Where the lost and the lonely leave their burdens and their cares. This is your house. Come and dwell.
Some days you may lead me through green pastures, where my heart drinks in deep, the water sweet. Some days you may lead me through the desert, even then you're still the reason I can sing. I am blessed beyond measures, so far beyond what's gained through earthly treasures. Whatever comes my I am blessed. nothing left. Testify until I am changed. I am blessed beyond measure, so far beyond what's gained through earthly treasures. Whatever comes my
say that you're blessed this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're mighty blessed people in this hour. Amen. We got so much to thank him for. Hallelujah. Amen. Ebenezer, do you want to come take up our offering, please? Amen.
Éternel Dieu, nous bénissons ton nom. Ton amour, Seigneur Jésus-Christ, qui nous a amenés au bas de la croix, Père, pour célébrer l'œuvre que tu avais accomplie, Seigneur. Aujourd'hui, nous sommes rachetés au Dieu. Voilà pourquoi nous te disons merci, Seigneur. Après avoir élevé ton nom, après avoir, Seigneur, dit combien tu es merveilleux pour nous, nous nous abandonnons à toi, Père. J'abandonne, Seigneur, mon frère et ma sœur, qui apporte maintenant son offrande. Yahweh reçoit, oh Dieu, les fruits du travail que tu nous as donné. Yes. Bénis, Seigneur, ma sœur, et bénis notre Père, notre Roi, Alléluia. Tout ce que nous t'amenons, Seigneur. Entre tes saintes mains, le reste de notre culte, oh Dieu, j'abandonne le pasteur Bob, oh Dieu, alors qu'il va passer pour nous apporter ta parole. Que ça ne soit pas un homme, oh Dieu, que nous voulons que toi tu puisses nous parler au travers de lui. Béni sois-tu, notre Père et notre Roi. C'est par les noms glorieux, les noms puissants de Jésus-Christ que nous avons ainsi prié. Amen.
As they're taking that, amen, let's just sing this victory is mine, key of F. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today it is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today it is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, victory today it is mine. When I woke, oh, when I woke this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, help me please. Then I was going and shouting, victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Oh, victory today is mine. One more time, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told the devil to get thee behind. Oh, victory today in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. For it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons will have. When we call, oh, when we call in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus. We have the victory once again. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we call, oh, when we call in the name of Jesus, who can stand before in the precious name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons we have. When we get to heaven, when we get to heaven, in the marriage supper, all saints are gathered, all hearts are singing. No more crying, no more sorrow. Far away, victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, victory. In the marriage supper, all saints are gathered, all hearts are singing. No more crying and no more sorrow. Far away from sin, oh victory ahead, oh victory ahead, oh victory ahead, victory ahead. Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah.
saints are gathered, all hearts are singing, no more crying, and no more sorrow, far away from sin, victory ahead, oh, victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, victory ahead, Jehovah, Jehovah, ahead. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of all honor and praise. Amen. Praise God. I'm just trying to change it up a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe he deserves all honor and praise. I believe we should be the happiest people in the world. Let me tell you what. I don't think there will be one quiet soul up in heaven. You think you're very quiet and very reserved. You won't be when you're in his presence. I guarantee you that. Might as well get used to it now. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just sing this song, In Christ Alone. Amen. I guess with this we can bring Brother Bob out. We'll sing a couple of verses of this, and then we'll have Brother Bob come. KFC. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Oh, in Christ alone, you took on flesh, of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
laid. Here in the path of Christ I live.
There in the ground.
Oh, there in the ground. His body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. In mercy for in glorious day. First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Aren't you glad God's got us this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, to be caught up in you, Lord, that you've got us, Lord Jesus. And you're not going to let us go. Lord, here we are this morning, not to look at one another, Lord, but to look into your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you give us life and strengthen us. And God, give us this power that you promised, Lord Jesus, to carry us through to the end. I pray, God, that you'll be with us this morning, Lord God, and quicken these words to us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord God. I'm so glad that Lord, you're not still in the grave, Lord, but you're alive with us this morning, Lord Jesus, and to prove that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what this message was sent for. We've got a quote where Brother Branham said that I come to prove that Jesus is still the same today. And we believe that this morning, Lord, that you're still the same. You're still with us. I pray, God, that you'll guide us through your words this morning and be with us this morning, we pray. Amen. We want to turn this morning to Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Sure appreciate the presence of the Lord this morning and the worship. It's good to have liberty in the Lord. Isn't it? Amen. I want to take a little topic this morning that you can't stay here. Amen. Pressing toward God's purpose.
Amen.
You can't stay here. So let's read, and this is the story of the rich young ruler, and we'll just read this one verse. And then when Jesus had heard all these things that this little rich young ruler had told him, all the things that he had kept from his birth and all those things, he said, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. God bless the reading of his word. You can have your seats. And I began meditating on this kind of thought because, you know, you hear sometimes preachers say a little line in a sermon and it'll just kind of stick with you. But I think one of the worst things that happens is happening today, and this layout of spirit creeps in and it gets a hold of people and they begin to get comfortable with where they are. And you can see this really playing out in the story of the rich young ruler. He had maybe he could be a type of somebody living in this age, that he was rich. He was a ruler. He had everything that he needed, and he was fine just staying right where he was. And of course, Jesus laid out that challenge for him. You know, really, what he's asking is, where's your treasure at? What's the most valuable thing you've got? Is it all of that laid up in your barn and your all the property and things that you've got? Or are you willing to just forget all the wealth and everything you've got? And follow me. And really, that this kind of thought can apply to anybody that's here, that's sitting here alive, no matter where you are in your journey. If you get comfortable with where you are, then you're not doing what God, you're not fulfilling God's purpose. That we've got to continually press on towards God's purpose so that it will be fulfilled in our life. And you even reminded of, you know, that story of Abraham, where he was down there in the Fertile Crescent, in the land of Uz, and God come and spoke to him and told him to get it. What a strange thing that it seemed like he'd have everything that he needed, just situated real good, and God told him, get up and leave all of your family's idols, all of that, just get up and get going. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it talks about all of those that died in faith, not having received the promises. But it says that they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, they were minded that I ain't staying here. Amen. You know, you can look around and see all of the things that are happening in the earth, and it seems like everybody kind of gets in a tizzy. Every time election season comes around, everybody gets frightful and afraid. And you know, the hurricanes come and disasters happen, and we begin to wonder what's happening. But, you know, really, it all comes down to this. This is not my home. Amen. Amen. Of course, you know, we know that God's going to clean the world off, and we're going to eventually, after it's been purged and purified and gone through the process, that we're going to live here forever and ever. But not like this. This world is not my home. Amen. And Brother Ram said, in taking sides with Jesus, he said, now what my thoughts is, if it could be possible that when I start going somewhere, I don't know where I'm going, but I can't sit still. Amen. I ain't going to stay here.
Right, come on.
That's right.
Amen.
I just can't do it. I got to move somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Now see, doesn't that play out exactly the same spirit that was in Abraham, the same thing, the same motives that were moving all of these old saints of old, that they got to go somewhere. That's why, as they were journeying through the wilderness, the prophet said it looked like there was a wheel in the middle of the wheel, because they were rolling on. They can't. Right. You can't sit still. Right. You got to keep going somewhere.
Amen.
And he said, I got to move somewhere, and I probably won't stay there but a few days, be moving somewhere else. I got to go somewhere. I don't know where I'm going. Neither did Abraham know where he was going. He just crossed the river and started off. You know, sometimes we're on the road. It seems like we travel a lot lately, but we always joke, well, this is how the spirit of an eagle. An eagle's got to get to moving. An eagle, that's why you find believers, they got to go to youth camps. They got to get up, and they're going to do something, because there's something in them that longs for revival. And a revival is not something to just get started. A revival is something that where you, it refreshes what you already got, and it gets to kindling something. And what is it? It's something within you that's longing and seeking for another country, seeking for something that's not here. So now when you look, when you maybe if you got a TV in your home or whatever your situation is, if you're listening to the news and you see all of the stuff going on about the election, just remember, this world is not my
Amen.
Home.
Amen.
Now I really just want to frame up your mindset. I think sometimes we start looking at this candidate over here and this candidate over here, and we think, which candidate is going to save us? Now, come on now. Let's be real Christian about it. Which candidate is going to save us? And if I want to remind you, let's take it back to what Brother Branham said. He said, we almost laugh at this. It seems like the reaction you get is people almost laugh when you make statements like this. But he's the one that said, if you put a George Washington and an Abraham Lincoln in every office, all the way down to your local county government, your mayors, all the way down, this nation is still going down. So there ain't going to be somebody to come set it up, so you're going to be a real happy Christian and be real well situated and not going to have any problems. It's not going to be set up like that, I'm sorry to tell you. And on the one side, and I'm not preaching politics, but on the one side, you're going to have uniting of church and state, and the other side, you're going to have a woman spirit ruling. So whichever way it goes, it's going to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. That ain't up to me, but I know one thing, that this world is not my home, and neither one of these candidates are going to make it so that I'm going to want to stay here. Let's put it like that. We see people that you frame up, even people that they're looking for something so horrible that, well, I got to store up all these baked goods. I got to store up all these things. And we get to frame it up in our mind, well, I'm going to be here. And I'm almost to the point where it seems like people, well, I'm going to be here through the tribulation. No. No, now when the sixth seal opened up, it revealed that the foolish virgin and the 144,000 and all them have to go through those kind of rough times. But now the bride is purified by the word. So now we've already got everything that we need to be changed. And I ain't looking for nothing else but the secret calling and catching away, for one day the bride is going to come turned up missing, and the rest of the church world is going to be, what happened? But in other words, I'm not looking to store up all this stuff so that I can go through a tribulation period. I'm not looking to store up all these things so that I can plan out what's going to happen. I think Brother Branham gave us a storehouse, didn't he? He stored up all of this food so you could have everything you need. And you don't need a bunch of baked goods and things, but what you need is the revealed word for the hour that you can anchor your soul to and anchor your whole journey and everything. That's the thing that'll carry you across the river. I'm not making plans to stay. We can't stay. You know, whether or not you believe in global warming or things like what the earth, the Bible says that the earth will burn with a fervent heat. In other words, that the earth is getting to a place where you can't stay. Somebody, we're going to have to get out of here. And there's got to be something within our hearts that's laboring and pressing to get out of here and get out of here. Now, you know, we're talking about moving. But I'm not really talking about moving naturally. It seems like sometimes you look at people the way that they live, and they feel like they just got to hustle and bustle and go around doing everything. But you can be moving and sitting still. Now that's what I'm talking about. You can go out and sit at the coast, and you can sit, watch, and the water will be evaporating and turning into clouds and raining maybe 1,000 miles away, and it looks like nothing's happening. And that's a different kind of moving. Then when you're hustling and bustling and trying to work something up. But that's what I'm talking about this morning, that if God can, if we can yield ourselves to God to where we're moving spiritually, that you can't stay where you are spiritually. I don't want to stay. We got to move. Now, what gets us to moving? It's the life that gets us to move. You know, even when you're out in the world, you get around church people and you start seeing something real. I've saw that work out, and I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it work out in my children's lives. That time Zach was at one of the camp meetings, and he was wondering, is the message true or not? Is it real? And he looked up on the prayer line, and there was a pillar of fire actually there. Like I'm talking about not something you could just look at on a picture, but a pillar of fire there in the camp meeting. And what was it? It's a life. The life. And you see, Brother Adam would say that's why the devil gets so upset when people begin to receive their healing and signs and wonders begin to happen in a meeting, because it's the life actually demonstrating, vindicating that the word is not something that we're just learning about, but it's something real. And you get it, you sit on the old rocking chair porch with an old timer, and where you can actually listen to the real life echo forth from their lips and tell you about their experience, and then something begins to draw you, because that's what happens to maybe an unbeliever. They get around a believer, and the life is what you begin to see. It's the attraction on the mount. God's word is being fulfilled in that person's life, and it begins to attract you. It begins to draw you. It's not just a desire to learn things so that we can hold hold it in front of somebody else and say, well, look how much I know, but it's the life. Oh, it all goes back to that, like John in the book of Revelation. He saw one set on the throne, and round about that one on the throne was a rainbow that went around, and it was green. Why emerald? Why? Because it symbolized life. The whole story is about life. Brother Adam said, why did it have to be shepherds? Because shepherds know about life. Well, and when the bride tree was eaten down, it was eaten down all the way down to the roots, but there's life in the root. What kind of life? A predestinated seed germ life that's going to come up, and it's life. Life is the thing that drives the church. It's the spirit that quickeneth life. And this is a living gospel, not something that's dead, not something that's buried in the ground up there in Jeffersonville or something, but it's a living gospel. And what this gets us to move is the life of Christ that actually is actually drawing us. Now the thing, though, if you want to get to the life, here's the thing. If you want to get to the life, then you got to come through the Word. Amen. You got to come through the Word. Amen. You know, one of the most compelling reasons to move is the life of Christ. Amen. What's the life? I want to be changed. You start coming. It's like coming into the outer court. You come into the outer court. I see them offering their sacrifice. I see the blood dripping down from that lamb. I want to, and you begin to realize I want to be changed. I want to get into that holy of holies. I want my guilt to be taken away. I want to be free. I want to be righteous. And that's what the life does. The life begins to work on you, and it begins to change you to be like Jesus. It's the life of Christ. That's what, like Brother Michael was saying this morning, it's not, the message is not a bunch of rules, a bunch of things that we've got to follow, a list of doctrines, but it's actually the life of Christ living himself out in you to make your life match up with the Word, and it's God's life fulfilling his Word in you. Now, in the Queen of the South, Brother Brown was saying, he said, if you went to a pumpkin vine, you'd expect to find pumpkins. If you went to a watermelon vine, you'd expect to find watermelons. You went to a grapevine, you'd go to grapes. And if you come to the church, you don't expect theology and arguing and fussing. What do you expect to see? You expect to see the life of Christ, the vine moving in the branches, bringing forth the same spirit that lived in the Lord Jesus. For he lives. Amen. He's alive today. If he is, he will do the same works. Yes, Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father that sent me, then believe me not. Amen. I think that again echoes what Brother Michael was speaking on this morning, that if you've got faith, it's going to manifest. Oh, yeah. And we know the pattern we've been taught, that faith is something inward that only God can see. It's something between you and God, but your works is for others. Why is it for others? Because it's an attraction. It's your salt. It's the salty savor that makes somebody else thirsty, that makes somebody else want it. They're not looking at your mean attitude or whatever, but they're looking at the life of Christ. The life of Christ is what draws them. And the message conferences, he said, we could scream and shout and do whatever we want to. It'll never influence man until they see the life of Christ being projected in you. Someone who's, I like reading these things because he lays out kind of what I almost like the measuring stick of what we're trying to get at. Someone who's tender and merciful and forgiving. You know, to get to a place where you're tender, sometimes it's like meat. Sometimes you have to be wonked a little bit through life to get tenderized a little bit. You got to go through some experiences and challenges in life. Lose some things that are valuable, and go through some rough battles. Get tenderized to a place where you can really, he said, and ready to turn the other side of the cheek, or give the second coat, or go the second mile. Christianity in action, not just taught from the pulpit, but acted among the members, among the pastors. That's when you see Christ living in this church, decisions made. But if you want that life, you got to come by the Word. It's the life that attracts us. I sure remember when I was a young man growing up, and I'd look at different believers, and I'd see their reaction to situations. Just real, genuine believers that I held in high regard. And I'd see the way that they reacted to the things. And there's no way that you could be patient like that, except it would be God working in you. Amen. There's no way that you could react. And it begins to, you get around somebody like that, and they'll begin to convict you. You begin to get around the real life. Well, that's actually why people in the world, you go to Walmart and it seems like they hate you because you're wearing a dress, right? Because the life is on display. Right. The life gets, it begins to confront your sinful nature and the way that you are, and you get pricked, and you're like, but to get that life, to get that deliverance, that you've got to come by the word, because the word, what is the word? The word is actually, maybe it's like, maybe this would be a carnal illustration. If you could take the spirit and dehydrate it, put it into a form, another form, and read it on the page, there's, it's the word, it's the spirit in letter form. And you, then you quicken it and you rehydrate it again, and it's just the spirit. So the word actually is the spirit. It's the word is, when you're reading the word, it is the spirit. All you got to do is believe it, and then it will produce what it will express, the God's thought. It will express the spirit in your life. And that's why Jesus would say in Matthew 4:4, he said, he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That word is what we're living by, because the word actually will produce the life of God in you. And John 6:63, he said, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The carnal outside that you see, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word that falls into the good ground of your heart actually produces the life. And Brother Brown would say this. He said, and I think this is the fourth seal. He said, the word itself is spirit. It's spirit in word form. And then you see when it is quickened or brought to life, the spirit of the word goes to work and acts. So the point I'm trying to make here is what are we pressing forward? We're pressing toward the life actually lived out in us. And we've got to, no matter where you are, you're pressing forward, and you can't stay where you're at. If you're in a state of justification this morning, you can't stay there. If you're in a state of sanctification this morning, you can't stay there. And if you're born again, you can't stay there. You got to keep moving. You got to keep pressing on. Don't ever get satisfied with where you are. And you know, sometimes we go out preaching and things, you'll hear people express what they believe in little quick statements and things. Right. And one of the things, you know, I've heard people say, as long as we can get somebody to the baptismal pool, we've got them to salvation. Now let's think about these things this morning, because teaching really places, and it helps us to understand where we're at and whatnot. Sure. You get somebody to believe in Jesus Christ, and they're at a spot where they're saved. But then Irenaeus, he compared baptism to justification. If we can, and you'll see so many people come to a state of justification just like they come to the baptismal pool. They come and they start off real good, and they're real excited about it. And but then they don't linger, they don't wait until they don't hang on to the word, and then they go right back out into the world, right back out into the condition. So that well, my point this morning is I'm not satisfied getting somebody just to a place of conception. It works just like a natural birth. There's different stages. First, there's a conception, and then the little muscles begin to twitch, and there's a form of life down in that mother's womb, and there's a form of life working and moving, but the baby ain't there yet. Life doesn't come until you're born, and you can't hold that baby in your arms until it's born. There might be a miscarriage, and so we don't want spiritual miscarriages. We don't want to get somebody to the baptismal pool and then wonder, like sometimes happens in the natural, what happened? You know, I'm steering away from something. Like, we don't want to get somebody to just to a conception, but we want to get them to a birth. And Brother Brown will say, in the second coming of the Lord, he said, listen, you're not saved until you're born again. You just turned your face toward something. Now, that's what justification, it's like coming into the outer court, and there's the altar, and there's the laver where you can come and get baptized, the altar where your sacrifice is, and you're believing, well, the sacrifice is going to make me righteous, because I'm looking at the sacrifice, I'm looking at the shed blood, but you're not in the Holy of Holies yet. You're not saved until you're born again. You just turn your face toward it. You just turn your face toward something, but when you accept Christ, you're born again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now, many people say he's the Lord, but you can't actually say it by revelation until you've gone into the Holy of Holies. You can't say he's Lord of your life. You can't say that he's living on the throne of your heart until you're born again. So he said you're complete in Christ, and you're not saved because that you pack a crucifix. Now, that's a good justified person, maybe. You got a crucifix in your car, and you're saying, well, this is it. I've been baptized, and this is it. No, you are just getting started. You're not saved because you go to church. You're not saved because you know your catechism or your textbook. You're not even saved because you know the Bible. You are saved because you know the person, Jesus Christ. And what does he say? To know him is life. Now, there's the thing we're getting to, is life. Life, when deity is expressed in your members, and you're just not memorizing things and going through an act and trying to make something work, but Christ is actually living in you. And not even to know his word is life, but to know him, the person, is life. There's only one way to know him, and that's to be born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Something begins to work at justification. But you're not born again yet. You still got the same habits. You still got the same. See, those habits are the things that I'm trying to get away from. Those habits are those things. I remember years ago that you'd have when I was coming to the Lord, you'd have these bad habits. You're like, well, how can I get rid of these things? I want to get rid of these thoughts in my mind. I want to get rid of all it's your inclination to do wrong. How can I get rid of that so that there's something in me that magnetizes to the word and magnetizes me to the right instead of magnetizes me to the wrong? You got to have something on the inside that changes you so that you're not leaning toward the wrong, but you're leaning toward the right. And then even if you mess up, even if you fall down in the mud, you get back up again because you're leaning toward the right. And you want to be right. That's what the Holy Ghost life inside of a believer does. And an unbeliever, or a person still in a state of justification, they got the same habits, the same old thoughts, the same old desires. The old man is still there. That unclean spirit is happily living in your soul. What's the unclean spirit? It's that thing that it gives you that inclination. It's leaning you toward the wrong. Now, listen, I know we've got people sitting here this morning in different stages of their journey. And if you're at a stage of maybe a more stage of maturity or something, where maybe you feel that this doesn't quite apply to you, don't draw up on me, but pull on it, because you want somebody else to get a blessing. Don't go to sleep on me because you don't think it applies to you or your situation. Don't draw up on me because maybe you've heard it so much before. But this is the time for you to pull and say, preach it, brother, because if I've already got it, somebody else can get it too. In John chapter 3, verse 5, he said, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily," this is what Jesus telling Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," the washing of the water, the word and of the Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In other words, he's saying, you might be living a good, clean life. You might be good at living a good Pharisaical life. You might know all about the scriptures because you've been going to synagogue and you've been taught and everything, but that ain't good enough. You've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, there is no surety at justification. There's no surety at sanctification. You've got to be born of the water and the Spirit. You might have a measure of life in your spiritual journey. You might have like a little baby beating, the muscles twitching in this mother's womb, but you don't have life yet. Life has not come into you. I was sharing this little video with Esther of this doctor, that this little baby was born, and the little baby was laying there, and that doctor was just so calm. The baby was born stillborn, and he just got to working on that baby. And he had just worked for minutes and minutes, and that baby wasn't breathing. But all of a sudden, what he was doing began to take effect. He, you know, massaged the muscles, and he knew how to do it. And all of a sudden, that little baby took a breath of life. Now, that same thing will happen to you in the supernatural. In the natural, that happens when you take that breath of natural life and the life enters into you. But there's something else that's got to happen to bring you to a state that what it brings you back to what we lost in the Garden of Eden. That eternal life brings you back to where we come from, where we're supposed to be at. It brings you back to the place where God, where because of our disobedience and because of our sin, we were severed from relationship and fellowship with God. And restores us back to that. And there'll come a time in your supernatural journey when you'll take a breath just like that. And people try to explain away something happening when you're born again, but something supernatural happens in the same way that something happens when that natural baby takes a breath of life. And life comes in. Now this is what I'm getting to. You might not run or shout. You might not leap about. You might not do many things. But I tell you what, you will believe God's word. And your life will begin to change. You will begin to be regenerated because you are the expression of the attributes of God. And the same characteristics that were in Jesus Christ are expressed in you. And you might not always run around and shout like everybody does. And you might not do all the things that maybe the religious world says that you should do. But nevertheless, you are an expression of deity, God living in you. And that's why you can't stop at justification. You got to keep going on. Don't be satisfied with a state of sanctification. You got to keep going on. Never be satisfied. Do you realize that's what the fivefold ministry is to do? It's to continually push and to encourage you. Don't stay where you are. Don't get to a place where you think this is good enough. You got to keep pressing on. He said, and you must be born again. He said, no matter how much that we try to think we are right and saying a creed or joining a church, you're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. You're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. Saying a creed, joining a church. You say, well, we're not a denomination. We can't just say a creed and join a church. Come on now, my friends. He said it doesn't change you. Your creed, joining church, or changing your ideas or your good intentions. Look, let's really examine this. Changing your ideas, that's not good enough. Good intentions, that's not good enough. Although as good as it might seem, it's still not right. Amen. There's something got to happen. Amen. The new birth is an experience. Yep. Something that takes place. Amen. And we've always heard the preachers preached on it for years. That when you're born again, a natural birth, you know when that baby starts crying. Yeah. And the spiritual birth, the baby's going to come forth crying out, Abba, Father. Sure. It's going to come forth with a desire for his daddy. Amen. What kind of experience are we talking about? A personal encounter with Christ where you've read about it and you learned about it, but then you meet him. You meet him. It's a revelatory experience that transforms you deep within because Christ has become personally known. You know him. It's not that you're just reading about it, but now you know him. I tell you what, when you know him, then you can fall in love with him. When you begin to know him in those dark moments, you praying beside your bed at night like David, tossed around the deep, call to the deep is what he would say. Then you begin to know him. It's not just something that you've heard about, but you know him. It is a deep internal change, a complete shift of your nature. Now, the new birth, let's not get this wrong. The new birth is a start of your regeneration. You're going to begin to grow in the stature of a perfect man. But I tell you what, when you're born again, it starts something. It's going to start a change. Something begins to change and it makes you different. deep internal change, a complete shift of nature, desires, and your thinking. You don't, you're not desiring the things of the world, but what you want is you want more of God, because you know the way to the life is the is through the Word. If you're going to get more life, you've got to come to the Word. You tell me a born-again Christian don't want some more Word. You tell me a born-again Christian don't want to be in the house of God. There's something that changes when you're born again, and you want more of the Word because it brings you to the life. Not just a change in behavior, but a transformation of identity. And there might be physical and emotional reactions. There probably are going to be little spots and spits and spurts here and there, crying in the shower, crying in the car, praising God on the way to work. Something's going to happen when life comes in. And I don't believe in a cold, dead form of religion where you just come to church and sit on the pew and say, well, I got it. I believe that when life comes, something begins to happen. Something begins to transform your being. It's the death of the old self. And when your old self begins to die out, you tell me there's something can happen when you're dying. You got to die to your old self. And before you can be born again, the old self has got to die. Amen. You're moving away from all those worldly desires and sins. Yeah. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will empower you to be to live a Christian life of service. Right. It empowers you to live a life for others.
Amen.
And Brother Brown will say, the new birth can be without sensation. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's saying that the new birth does not necessarily rely on outward signs and sensations and emotions. When you're born again, you might not necessarily see all of those things that the religious world typically likes to label. You know, the Pentecostals used to wonder, well, they used to say, well, unless you speak in tongues, unless you do this, and we're always trying to find a thing that we can label, unless you do this thing, unless you cry, unless you weep, unless you shout, unless you run the aisles. But he's saying the new birth will be without sensation. You might see all those different things. But what you will see is a faith and a regenerated life.
Amen.
Faith and a regenerated life in Christ are at the core of the new birth.
Amen.
Even if you don't see emotional displays.
Yep.
It's about being filled with God's Spirit and transformed in obedience to His Word. Which might not always come with outward actions or immediate signs that other people can look at. And it all starts with justification. Justification starts when a man realizes he is justly under God's condemnation and wrath. And there might be some of you sitting here this morning that are realizing God's got a right to judge me, to send me to hell. God's got a right to send me to hell. Now that's when justification actually starts. Something begins to click and you begin to realize I ain't the way that I should. And if I were to die right now, I would not go to heaven. I would not. Something needs to take place. And what begins to take place is when that really begins to click, you become consumed with a desire to return to God's divine favor. You realize that if God were to judge you right now, that you would go, if the floor were to open up, you'd go right down to hell. And there wouldn't be nothing to stop that. And I'll tell you what, that'll get the wheels turning. You begin consumed, like David crying out on his bed, the deep calleth unto the deep at the noise of thy water spouts. What is it? It's something within you crying out, there's something wrong with me.
Amen.
There's something wrong, and it can only be satisfied by the sacrifice of a holy God, God making an atonement for me.
Amen.
You know, and Jesus said, I think that's why he said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they should be filled.
Yes.
If you just got a hunger down in your soul to be made right, then there's a promise that God will fill you, that he will fill that appetite. And in John chapter 6, he said, Jesus answered them and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. How does God draw us? He draws us by demonstrating his power and his life so that we can see that life. And then he begins to preach the word to bring us into condemnation. And it's actually God this morning drawing at you and pulling at you, pulling you into that holy of holies to draw you and to compel you to come in, fit in the hedges and the byways, to come in and to not stay where you are. There's a promise in Ezekiel 36 of justification that God can take that heart, that stony heart, and begin to soften it up. He said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And that's what justification begins to do to just a little worldly person. It begins to soften up their heart to where God can. And Brother Ram compared it like an apple that gets all bruised up over time. It gets bruised and it becomes mellow, so mellow that a little baby could sit down and eat it. Now this morning, aren't you glad that God's working on us? Amen. That he don't leave us old, hard-hearted, sitting out there in the world, coming home from work, drinking your alcohol, and going to sleep, getting up the next morning with a hangover and thinking this is all there is to life. But you come and get around believers, or somebody begins to testify to you at work, and you begin to realize that there's a purpose in your life, that you ain't supposed to go through life like that, that there's a purpose and a calling for your life, and it begins to soften up your heart, and God begins to draw you. Soften up your heart. It's like a little bruised apple that a little baby could eat. A baby doesn't have teeth. Could just so soft and tender. Now that's somebody dealing with somebody in justification. What does a justified person look like? It looks like somebody that puts their faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's Job on his ash heap. He had confidence in those ashes, of the ashes of his sacrifice. No matter what came in his life, he wasn't looking at what he had done, but he was looking at his sacrifice. And a justified person will turn around. It's going to have a strong desire to repent and live differently. A justified person is going to start desiring to come to church. And what does a justified person do? They've had their guilt of sin removed, offering peace with God.
Amen.
Although the person is not yet fully sanctified, they can now approach God without the burden of guilt that once weighed them down. What does justification do? It's legal. And we're talking about life this morning. Justification don't have nothing to do with your character.
That's
why you can't stay at justification. You go into the courtroom, and because you're justified, the judge can't swing his gavel and send you to the prison because you've been justified. And justified is more than just a pardon of all of your sins, but it's actually, it affects how God looks at you. It's how God looks at you, that you are righteous in God's sight because he's paid the price for you. Oh, this morning, aren't you glad that you've got a lamb? That's over there in Revelation when we preach on that, we've got a lamb to make us worthy to read the seals. And it wasn't by our own doing. It wasn't by our own works, but we've got a lamb. They had a lamb in the Garden of Eden to pay the price. God come down and killed a lamb. And the whole scripture testifies that God would come down, a holy God that required, a God of integrity that required justice, that satisfied justice through a lamb that he offered on the cross. What is it? Justification changes your legal status, but not your character. Justification is an acquittal from guilt, as though your innocence has been proven. It was as though somebody come running in there and said, he's actually not guilty, because God looks not at you, but at your sacrifice, at what Jesus did for you on the cross. Justification is solely an objective change in your standing in relation to the law. And it's immediate. It's an immediate legal declaration of righteousness.
Amen.
It don't take a long workup, but you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are justified.
Amen.
It's the opposite of to condemn. Yeah. It is a legal change from a state of guilt and condemnation to a state of forgiveness and acceptance. But it has nothing to do with your nature.
It
has nothing to do with your character.
Amen.
It only has to do with the way that God is looking to you from a legal perspective. Legal righteousness is not a habit infused into your heart, but a gift transferred to your account. It's not a habit transferred into your heart. And that's why you got to come to it, but you can't stay. You can't stay at justification. It's what we're talking about is, where is your anchor hooked on? If you're at justification, your anchor is not clipped on to the Rock of Ages yet. It's not clipped on to something. And that's why so many people, their ship drifts back out into the world after a while, because they're trying to live by their little faith, their puny little faith. They're looking to the cross. Oh, but when God gives you his faith, that's an anchor that will hold you forever. The anchor of his faith at the new birth will anchor you to the Rock of Ages. Justification is perfect for deathbed confessions. It's great for that last little moment where you say, well, you confess your sin there. And a soldier on the battlefield that's been shot in the stomach, and just there in that moment, he begins to confess all his wrongs and say, I'm looking to Jesus Christ. And there, just like the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, what a great. But see, in this hour. In this hour that we're living in, you got to keep moving. This treacherous hour where there's foolish virgins and fakes and all these things, you got to keep moving. You can't stay at a state of conception. And questions and answers law having a shadow. Brother Bram said, you're born again when you receive the Holy Ghost. Well, that's when you're converted. You might be in process of conversion, but you're not converted until it's completed.
Amen.
And you're sealed into the kingdom of God. Plenty have fallen away from justification. Plenty have turned around and then turned back around. Plenty have started and stayed put. But we can't stay where we are. And the basis of fellowship, he said, I want to ask you something. If justification is all God requires, I'd like to ask you this. When the man was separated by the waters of separation sprinkled, then he could not yet enter into the worship of the glory of the Lord. He could not do it because he was only sprinkled from his sin. It separated from his sins, but did not put him in fellowship. That's right. It only separated from his sins. Now Ephesians said, we are washed by the water of the word. Now hearing the word and being just as religious as you want to be, and your pastor a scholar, and your doctor of divinity, a scholar, still that don't put us in fellowship. No, sir, it will not do it. Now I got 10 more minutes, so I'm going to try to leapfrog. Let's see. It's like the children of Israel going through the wilderness of sin. When they come across that across the Red Sea, they were in a state of justification. Look back and see all of your sins passed away. Amen. And Miriam got her tambourine and she began to dance and praise God. All those things that used to plague me, all my past is going away. But what if they had stopped there? They had eaten the lamb. They had the blood over the lintel of their door. But what if they had stopped and not keep going on? They would never have reached that promised land. They were in a place like real justification. It makes you look back and you can say, well, what sin? You can really have true confidence that come to God and all of your sin has been washed away. When the devil comes with all his accusations, well, what sin are you talking about?
Amen.
But you got to keep going on because your character has not been changed. And a hidden life in Christ, Brother Brown said, there's many people today that's never went any farther than the outer court, the veil. Yet they are Christians. They by the millions. They enjoy Christ in an outward form. Coming to church, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in a justified state. They go to church with a consolation of knowing they belong to church. But they have never become hid away with him in the inner courts. But out there, they eat manna. See, it matters where you're eating. You can eat the same word in the outer court, and it won't have the same impact that it does in the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
You could be sitting here in the same word, but it matters where you are when you eat it.
Amen.
You eat it in the holy place, and it'll have a different impact than it does in the outer court.
Yes, sir.
But it still won't have the same impact that it would if you're in the Holy of Holies.
Right.
You got to go on to where the manna keeps. Where it keeps, and it doesn't grow stale, and it doesn't have to keep being replenished.
Right.
Where you have to keep relighting the candlesticks and massaging your experience, going to a little revival meeting to have a quick pick-me-up.
Yep.
But you go on into the Holy of Holies, and the manna will keep. Justification is a change of legal status, but sanctification begins to produce a moral transformation of character.
Right.
And this is that little spot that is so dangerous. Yeah. This is really the crux of what I'm getting at, that you can't stay. You sure can't stay at you can't stay at justification, but you definitely can't stay at sanctification. Yeah. Sanctification is that spot that you got to go, but you can't stay there. Amen. You can't stay there. What sanctification, salvation from sin requires both a clearing, justification, and a cleansing.
Amen.
And why are you being cleaned up? Because the whole house is getting swept and cleaned out because the king is coming.
Amen.
You got to get everything prepared. Before the king can come, first you got to get your name cleared.
Amen.
First you got to be justified. You got to have your name cleared. And then let's get this place cleaned up so you have a good moral life. You're trying to do things. You're trying to clean things up because God is not going to come in a filthy place.
Right.
Something's moving at sanctification. Something's moving, but it ain't yet alive. Now, that's that whole debate about abortion in the world. It's moving. It's moving in mama's womb, but it's not yet alive. It hadn't taken that breath yet. It's moving. It's alive, but it's not yet alive. It's not that life that we're getting to. Now, that's the same thing in the spiritual birth. It's moving, but it ain't alive yet.
Amen.
It's sanctification. Something is actually imparted to us, but in justification, it is only imputed.
Yep.
Sanctification imparts a love for God, a capacity to worship Him acceptably, and a meekness for heaven. Justification is by a righteousness without us. Sanctification is by a holiness wrought in us.
Yep.
Justification removes the obligation to punishment, and sanctification cleanses you from pollution because you got to be made holy for the
Amen.
King. Aren't you glad that the king wants to come and sit down on the throne of your heart? Come down and make your heart his seat, his mercy seat, where he can set himself down and begin to transform you from the inside. But before he can come, you got to be cleaned out. You got to be. And what does the clean? And it's the word. It's the word that made you want to be justified. It's the word that began to mold your life in a state of sanctification. It's the word that made you want to be a Christian. It's the word that made you want to worship in a state of sanctification. Because God is cleaning up the place so that he can come and take his abode in you. You got to get rid of that unclean spirit, though. The power of God, Brother Ram said, there was a young lady came out of a store that was immorally dressed, little bitty old clothes like you wear here and everywhere else, you know, just indecently. He said, what makes the world dress the way that they do? What makes people act in the way? It's an unclean spirit. It's a spirit. A little
Amen.
Devil
right.
down in their heart that's making Amen. Them act the way that they do.
Amen.
And he said, the unclean spirit, what does it do? He goes over and gets into this person and begins to tell him this. And you know what he does? It's just like what Jesus said. You can pass the seas to make one proselyte. And what is he when you get through with him? He's talking about that unclean spirit goes out, comes and returns yeah. back with all of his buddies.
Right.
And now you got just a more twofold child of hell than he is to start with.
Man.
But now let's meditate on that this morning. Don't get tired on me. Hold on just a minute.
Go ahead, brother.
You got an unclean spirit. When you're out in the world
yes, sir.
And you ain't living for God,
no
there is a spirit in
yes,
your
heart.
Brother Ram will say there's a spirit Amen. That keeps you from responding
yes.
to the word.
Right.
And that spirit, when you come into a real Holy Ghost filled meeting,
yeah.
you come up for prayer and a real Holy Ghost anointed preacher can lay hands on you and we're called to cast that spirit
right.
out.
Right.
And then when that spirit is cast out, then you can really begin to respond the way that God always wanted you
right,
to.
Right.
You can respond and you can begin to believe and you can come and sit in church in a real sanctified condition.
Yes, sir.
Sanctified because that spirit has been cleaned out. But the danger of sanctification
yes, sir.
Is that you start off in a good,
yes.
clean, moral condition. But if you stay there too long,
yes, sir.
The danger is that unclean spirit will go out and get all his buddies and bring them back and find the place all nice and clean. It's been cleaned out for the king.
Yes.
But you stopped. You stopped and you stayed where you were because you thought that you had the new birth. You stopped. You were going to church and you were worshiping and you were crying in church and all those things and you stopped. And what the devil does, he'll go and he'll leave you in a nice, clean, moral state. But what he'll do is he'll bring all of his buddies back and he'll make you worse, and you become like a horrible old Pharisee. And that's why Brother Branham would preach those sermons about the meanest man I know, that Pharisee sitting there mocking Jesus over in the corner. He was a religious person, a religious hypocrite. You couldn't put one finger on his life. And that's why, you know, the longer I live as a Christian, the less I care about all the do's and don'ts. It's about your character. It's about your life. We come and we try to compare things that we're doing and what everybody else is doing. But that's what an old Pharisee will do. I don't want to be like that Pharisee sitting over there. You caused the blind man to be healed on the Sabbath. You went down to the pool of Bethesda and you raised him up on the Sabbath day. And all the, you know, all these accusations. We pay tithes of all these things, but we don't pay tithes of mint and cumin, but we're doing all these other things that we're supposed to be doing. And it was pride and enmity and jealousy and all those things set down in your heart, and you begin to look with a crooked finger at other people and say, well, I'm doing things that you're not. And it turns you into that. Now that's a worse state. That's what the first seal is about. A genuine Holy Ghost filled believer and a fake that goes riding out. And how are you going to tell the difference until you come to a place of maturity and you can look and see, well, there goes, there's the lion and there's the white horse rider, a faker that is sitting there in the house of God and faking all this time, all these years, and is fake as anything. Fake. Brother Branham would say that white horse rider is what it is. It's a foolish virgin that sits and acts like a real believer, but the whole time it's a house of devils, whitewashed on the outside, but all of those devils have come and incarnated themselves in that person, and made them what? A mean person. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, he said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, if you could just picture in your mind, if you could look at my notes, I've got a picture here of this spook going out of a house. The unclean spirit leaves out of the house. But if you stop and you don't keep going on, here comes that spook back with seven of his friends. Mere moral improvement without true spiritual transformation can leave a person vulnerable to worse demonic influence. Because why? You got to get faith there to stand at the door and keep that devil out. Amen. Because if the Holy Ghost is not in your house that it's been prepared for, then the devil will bring all of his buddies back, and you will still be in a state of a good moral Christian, and you'll be sitting there like I'll use this as an example. Ron Spencer, with all he's going through, all this cancer trouble, and yet preaching the gospel and suffering through it, an example of faith, and people will sit there writing their letters, the reason you've got cancer is because you ain't living for the Lord. Or because you got secret sin or whatever. That is meanness. And mean. That's why all these times that Brother Ram would hammer on how the devil loves church just as much as you do. The devil will come and sit down and make a lot of critical spirit, criticizing the moving of the Holy Ghost, criticizing a good Holy Ghost camp meeting, criticizing the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, pride, enmity, a bunch of jealous preachers pointing fingers at one another. And it's the same battle that's been going on from the Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Judas and Jesus, all the way down. God camped out in his church, and the devil camped out right there with him, right alongside of him. What is it? Pharisee. I'm going to keep going just a little bit longer. Pharisees seated themselves in positions of authority. This is what the Pharisee does. All of our deeds were done for show, seeking praise, greetings in Marcus, and the title Rabbi. They wanted that title Rabbi. And you'll see the mark of the devil. The devil always wants, he's got these characteristics. He always wants power, he wants praise, and he wants recognition. The devil ain't going to take the back seat. He wants people to be telling him how good he's doing and telling him this and setting him up on a pedestal, because that's the characteristics of the devil. And you watch it, compare that. The characteristics of Christ is he's fine with a manger. He's fine. He's fine with a little manger, but the devil's got to have the first place. That was what started out in heaven. The devil come out, and he wanted all the angels to come to him because he wanted to usurp authority. He wanted to be the big shot. And that same characteristics. Oh, brother, that's why Brother Ramble said God is always identified by his characteristics. Because when you look at a real born-again Christian, you can see the same characteristics of Christ in that person. And the same way, you can see the devil moving and working in the church. He said that's what the devil loves to come to church.
Amen.
You can't stay where you're at. If you remain in a state of sanctification, you become susceptible to self-righteousness, always seeking honor and titles and status while neglecting real sincerity and faith.
Amen.
If you stay in a state of sanctification too long, you become susceptible to a neglect of inner purity. You're focusing on all these outward things. Let's make sure the outside is painted white. The outside looks real good. But inside, you're lacking real inner holiness and a commitment to God.
Come on, brother.
Outside, you're always placing judgment on others while you're failing to examine your own sins and your own faults. And there's a reason why all these things that the Pharisees were laid out plainly for us in Scripture. You healed a blind man on the Sabbath day. You didn't wash your hands. You didn't wash your hands. They refused to enter Pilate's residence to avoid ritual defilement while they were putting a man to death. This hypocrisy. Despite witnessing all these miracles, they continue to demand signs from Jesus as proof of his authority. Worse than being clean is being clean and mean.
Amen.
And if you stay in sanctification, you are susceptible to being clean and mean.
Amen.
Brother Brown will say, there's devils, but Jesus cast them out. And he gave his church authority to do so.
Amen.
Cast out devils in my name. He cast seven devils out of a pretty woman one day. And he said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks in dry places, returning back then, bringing seven other devils with him. Now that goes to show that if the man was cleaned of devils, there was something in him had gone out.
Yes.
Right. A devil had gone out. Now when the devil moved out, God gives an opportunity to move in.
Amen. Right. Yes.
And when he goes out, let the Holy Spirit come in.
Amen.
It's all, he's operated by our will. We sit there and we're like, well, I'm fine. And listen, I've observed. A minister can't help but observe. You go through life and you look and you just see you can't stay. You can't stay where you are. We can't stay on this earth. I got to get out of here. You can't stay at justification. You got to keep moving on. You sure can't stay at sanctification. Because sanctification just opens up your whole psyche to all of this danger.
Amen.
When he goes out, let the Holy Spirit in. Don't just leave it there. If you do, just repent of your sins and go on. Then you're going to be worse off than ever. But get that place where Satan once lived and occupied. Get it filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then you'll have the strength of God's word in you manifested. And cast out devils. Contest is on. The evening lights are shining. God's Holy Spirit is present. How do you get born again? First, you got to want it. Like those people out there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, men and brethren, what are we supposed to do? And what makes you want it is you see the life and you heard the word preached to bring you to a state of condition. Amen. And you begin to look at Jesus Christ, you begin to look at his life and what he did for you and not anybody else and not your own works. That's right. And then you begin to press in. Yes. And that's what I'm encouraging you this morning, to press in. Amen. Never stop pressing in. I remember my own spiritual battle. I would pray through the night. I would lay there until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because I wanted something from God. And listen, you don't have to pray. It's not that we're laying out all these instructions. All you got to do is believe. But there's something going to be in you, something pulling you and drawing you that you'll press in. You'll take the kingdom by force, according to what the Bible says. The Bible says you've got to take the kingdom by force. If you want it, like John took the little book, then come on and take it. If you want it, you might as well take it. Why don't we stand to our feet as the musicians come? There's a promise here laying for you, and it's a promise of not just to act like a Christian, but to be the real expression of deity. What is a real Holy Ghost filled believer going to be like? They're going to be the expression of every attribute, every characteristic of God, expressing himself in your life, expressing himself in the way that you talk and the way that you think and the way that you move and the way that you function, to believe God's word and to regenerate your life. That's what I'm looking for this morning, is for the life. You got to keep moving. You can't stay in the same place. You can't stay. It's the life this morning as the musicians play. Everything that Brother Brown taught us is about the life. David said that he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why you got to be planted? You can't be stuck out like at a greenhouse. Maybe in justification, you're like in a little pot still, being moved about. But when you're born again, you are planted by the rivers of water. And you get your nourishment from that water. You ain't going to fall away if you're born again. We sing that song, Something Keeps Holding Me. It's not that you're holding on, but it's Christ that's holding on to you, because your roots have been planted way down in the earth and are soaking up the moisture from that river of life. It's a river of life that's flowing through us. It's the river of life. I wonder if we'll turn our heads to the earth, if we'll just bow our heads this morning. Maybe there'll be somebody here this morning that felt that pricked in their heart by the word that was preached. And maybe you're realizing that you've been staying too long where you were at. You've been staying too long. Now that could really go for all of us. Yes, amen. Won't you just respond in the way that God is calling you to? Yes, Lord. If you've been staying too long, it's time to put that foot out and get to walking. Maybe it's time to drop those knees to the floor and get to praying and get to pressing. Don't get to staying. We got to keep moving on. Oh God, you see every hand raised this morning. Lord Jesus, my hand's raised up right with them. Lord God, something within my heart is echoing. I want to be changed, Lord. I got to get out of here, Lord Jesus. We've got to get out of here. We can see the signs of the times, Lord, creeping through the world. Hurricanes and things, disasters all around the land. It's causing many people's hearts to fail with fear. Lord Jesus, we're looking to your promises, Lord Jesus. And you gave a promise, Lord God, that you would come down yourself and give us a shout and a voice and a trump, Lord God, to get us out of here. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you'll change our hearts. Lord God, my hand is lifted up, Lord, because I want every bit of meanness, every bit of enmity, all of the things, all the carnality to be dropped away from my life. I want more of you, Lord God. I want to be changed until there's nothing left but you living in me, Lord God. Lord, I know that's all of our desires this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, you give us a promise, Lord Jesus, a promise to be like you, Lord. That's what our purpose is. You'll regenerate our life. That's the promise of the Holy Ghost. A regenerated life, a life lived by the word, where you can actually express your word in us, Lord God. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anybody here that's lacking, anybody that's here that's falling short, I pray, God, that you'll keep drawing at their heart till they just can't get away from it. Lord, you pricked at Paul's heart. Saul, when he was running from you, until he couldn't, he just ran until he caught, he couldn't run anymore. Saul, Saul, why do thou kick us against the pricks? And maybe there's some this morning that have been kicking against the pricks. And now's the time to stop running. If you've been running, won't you just stop? Won't you come on home like the prodigal son? I believe in prodigal sons returning. Can't you hear him calling this morning? Can't you hear the voice of God stirring your soul, stirring the water? He's drawing you. Why don't we sing something to him?
At night I lay in bed, and I began to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why.
You ever feel like that? Something stirring in your soul. Something drawing you, you know there's something out there. It's Christ drawing you. Won't you respond to him?
I know his spirit's moving me to hear my.
What is it? I can't stay where I'm at. I gotta keep moving. I gotta keep pressing on.
He speaks to me. And I.
Take control of my life.
To hear the word.
Take control of our church. Take control of our circumstance.
He was drawing me to live a higher place. And there is a deep call. And I agree. fill the
pool. Amen. Aren't you glad that when he speaks to you, something inside of you agrees back? And if something doesn't agree back yet, just keep walking. Just keep moving forward. Press on. Press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ. Aren't you glad for his presence? You could just sit in his presence for hours. One day we won't have to leave. One day there's going to be that great youth meeting in the sky. We'll never have to leave his presence again. Do you have any announcements? We'll just stop on that note. God bless you, saints.
Good job. Amen. Timely message. We all need it.
Yes.
Amen. We appreciate all of you. Appreciate Brother Bob and his ministry and him being able, and Brother Luis and Brother Aaron today is at Brother Martin Villarreal's speaking today, so I'm glad that these ministers are getting out and spreading the gospel, yes, preaching the word of God. It's not a one-man message anymore. It's a five-fold ministry. It's every person doing their part as the body of Christ.
Right.
And we sure do appreciate Brother Bob and his stand for the message. So we're going to dismiss now, and we'll be back at just come back about 2 o'clock. And we won't have a song service. We're just going to have questions and answers. We may sing a little verse of something before we get started. But we'll be back here at 2. You don't have to get here at 1:30, but be here at 2 o'clock, and we'll have questions and answers. If you have a question, I got one this morning. So I got 4 different ones, and they're really good. 2 of them is really pertinent to each, to what we've been talking about and what's going on now. And we sure appreciate them. We appreciate you thinking about it and God giving you, Brother Branham always says, that a good, strong church is a church that asks questions.
Right.
That has questions. At least you're wanting to know something, you know?
Right.
Do I?
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry.
Esta tarde vamos a tener preguntas y respuestas a las 2 de la tarde. Entonces, si quieren, pueden estar aquí.
For questions. Amen.
I just keep.
Okay, but we're going to have questions and answers. We have 4 questions.
Respuestas.
And grab something to eat, come back, be here right at 2.
Cogen algo para comer, vengan a las 2.
And we'll get started.
Y comenzaremos.
If you have a question,
si tienen una pregunta,
just bring it with you, and we'll try to answer it then too.
Tráigala aquí y vamos a contestarla también.
Okay.
Tratar de contestarla.
God bless you.
Dios
love you with the love of the Lord.
Los amo con el amor del Señor.
We appreciate you.
Los apreciamos.
Thank you for pulling on that.
Gracias
gift that Brother Bob had.
Man,
you preach better when the gift being pulled.
Se predica mejor cuando el
we sure appreciate
está
that.
Siendo jalado.
Amen. So let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us.
Gracias, Padre, por este día que nos has dado.
Thank you for the hope that we have, Lord.
Gracias por la esperanza que tú tienes,
Lord, of eternal life, Father, and then
de vida eterna.
As our brother says, we got to move on into that positive.
Dice que tenemos que movernos a eso positivo,
where we know that we know.
De saber
that we're in that
que estamos
holy of holies
en ese
with
lugar
you,
santísimo contigo.
Lord, just be with us until
Señor,
we come back
con
together.
Hasta que regresemos, Padre.
They have questions in their heart, Lord.
Hay gente aquí que si tienen preguntas en sus corazones,
we,
Padre.
Lord, want you to come on the scene and answer them, Father.
Queremos que tú vengas a la cena y las contestes.
Because when you're here,
porque cuando tú estás aquí,
it's perfect.
Es perfecto.
Lord, just bless us now.
Señor, bendícenos.
Thank you for your anointing,
gracias
Lord, today.
Gracias por tu unción hoy.
Your spirit that's covering
the people.
Espíritu
que está cubriendo a la gente.
Pray that you'd be with them
pide,
now,
Padre,
Lord,
que estés con ellos, Señor.
As we come back together in a few hours,
en
Jesus' name
horas,
we pray.
En el nombre del Señor Jesucristo.
Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.